There's a couple testimonies, as Rachel was mentioning, that will, well, yeah, John and Jeannie Krull, and then as well, there will be a little brief portion as well from Sheldon, and then as well, we will be bringing into membership as well. That's what this will be today, a membership Sunday, and then as well, communion together. So there will be a few people with that as well. Gary Easingwood and as well, Marshall. I see his lovely face right there at the back. We will be welcoming him into the congregation. Gary and Marshall will be giving a testimony later. Our next communion is the hopes that that will be able to happen then. Just for time's sake, with sharing and communion together. Before we do, I do want to ask too, before we go into this, we're going to hear testimonies and just communion itself and the importance of communion, but then I want you to just think where you're at right now. In your very moment of time, where you're at, your headspace right now, are you content in the Lord? Are you content with what He's doing? Are you trusting Him? Do you believe in what the work is in you that He is completing? And we do go to communion, and there's importance to communion. I'll talk a little bit more about that later. But I just, as we have a few sharings from a few here today, I just remember what God has done for you when you hear these different testimonies as well. And when we come to membership and when we bring people into membership, we are writing on paper. I know I keep saying this, that you're a paper member. Because in Christ, we are members in the household of God. Amen. Overall, right? And then there is a place of Scripture, because we can see it throughout Scripture. We can see that from Paul himself, that there was places planted where there was church bodies. And those church bodies then would have members. They would be joined together. We write it down to show that you are committing here to be cared for by the leadership of this congregation and to be cared for by one another and for us to then care for one another. It is of great importance that you get involved in a congregation. You need to. It is a command by God to not forsake the gathering of the brethren overall. So we need to get committed together. And when we do this with Membership Sunday, we're just, these ones are saying, we want to let you know, and we want to be cared for. So, I'm going to stop talking. And John and Jeannie, if you would mind coming up.
Okay, can you all hear me? No? Can you hear me now? No? How's that? If you will, please turn to Hosea 13. Just before we do that, I do want to thank, on behalf of my wife, I want to thank Pastor Charlie and Stan. I want to thank all the believers in this family for your acceptance of us. With my shortcomings, making us welcome here. But above all, I do want to thank my Lord and Savior, our Lord and Savior, for His bringing me here in this assembly, that we may be together to honor and glorify Him. Amen. Hosea 11 starting at verse 7. This is King James. And my people are bent to backsliding from me, though they called them to the Most High, none at all would exalt him. How shall I give thee up, Ephraim? How shall I deliver thee, Israel? How shall I make thee as Adamah? How shall I set thee as Zeboim? My heart is turned within me. My repentings are kindled together. I will not execute the fierceness of my anger. I will not return to destroy Ephraim, for I am God and not man, the Holy One in the midst of thee, and I will not enter into the city. They shall walk after the Lord. He shall roar like a lion. When he shall roar, then the children shall tremble from the west. So far. I was asked by Pastor to give an address to the church this morning. Now, as I've given my testimony from this pulpit in the past few months and at the men's prayer breakfast, I thought to bring a relevant but a different message this morning. Now, it is also providentially today that we are to celebrate the Lord's Supper, so I'll touch on that too. Now, I know we live in New Testament times, but as all Scripture is given to our edification, and it is important also for us to consider the Old Testament. In fact, 2/3 of the Bible is Old Testament and shows the need of our Savior's atonement to satisfy for our sin. Now to our text. What do we see but a mass departure from God's law, following falsehoods, plainly inviting God's anger over his chosen people, a people who were set apart to serve him, and from those from whom the Messiah would in God's time come forth. Now ask yourself, children of God, where did he find you and myself? In blatant rebellion of him? Going against the wishes of godly parents, relatives, or having a form of religion we read about in the prophets? Prophet Malachi offering the lame or the sick, as it were, as a sacrifice, and then think we have done our part and our best for Christ. No, Christ did not come to seek the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You see, we are truly sinners. To see that we are truly a sinner is a work of the Holy Spirit that each saved person must and has experienced. That's what this text shows. Worthy of his rejection, then we have verse 8, where God, this wonder of salvation, God gives a message instead of deserved judgment. Why? Only because I am God. We see so clearly the very love of God for his chosen people, even to this day. Unworthy, but loved. And how is this so forcefully shown? God has loved us, reverently speaking, more than his own dear son. Please don't take this wrongly. God loved his son. Or out of context, but he could only love us. He could only love us through the very depth of his son's suffering. Now, how do we respond to this love of perfection? from God's side. We know it should be in perfection of our hearts and soul, but we confess, or should, a life of shortcomings, doubts, unbelief, impatience, and what short shrift in our thankfulness at times, our lack of prayer or Bible reading, all to our shame, and yet he remains faithful to us. I hope for the time when we may glorify him in perfection eternally. How humbly and reverently we may now therefore partake of the table that he has prepared, for what he has graciously done for us, who deserve by nature hell's punishment forever. But we are saved by his grace alone. All praise. Maybe there are some struggling in their faith and walk, though at one time saved. A few words to you. Luke 24, the last verses, I won't read them. But you know, a group of downcast disciples, not knowing the way forward, even though they spoke amongst themselves. Even doubt when Jesus did appear. He had to eat to prove it was him. What did he do? He opened the scriptures. That's where you should be, and the Spirit to teach and to testify of his love and care. Then wonderfully, he raised his hands and blessed them. I believe they saw the scars, the sacrifice he had paid for them, and by going up to heaven, proved all he said was true, and was as promised it would be their place also. But then forever. May you then, by the Holy Spirit's consolation and promise, go as they were on their way, rejoicing, we read. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you. Just one thing. Thursday morning, I woke up. Everything was covered in snow. First thing I thought of was Isaiah 1, verse 18. Though your sins, and you know the rest, they shall be as snow. Right? It's a comforting thought to see everything that is below is covered. It's covered. This morning I looked out, and I saw snow in patches. We see the dirt coming through. And that's so much like us. You know, we have that snow, that blood of the Lord Jesus that has covered everything. We are so often looking at what's underneath still to our shame rather than to him. Thank you.
Hey. Thanks. Thank you. I'll call you, everybody, up afterwards. Yeah. All right. Sheldon. And Kathy, if you want to come too.
Thanks, Pastor Matt. Good morning. So rather than share our testimonies again, which most of you would have heard both Kathy and myself give, I thought I'd share the motivation as to why we're seeking membership in a more of a what we believe format. So what do we believe? We do believe in the obedience and submission to God, the authorities, and to each other. As members of the body of Christ. We believe that like the covenant of marriage versus, say, common law, that a public declaration of membership in the body of Christ brings about accountability and commitment in our desire to live in the light. We believe that this to be scripturally based and prompted by the Holy Spirit when we dig into Romans 12 and 13, 1 Corinthians 12, and Ephesians 4 and 5. And so, as James exhorts us in James 1:22, we desire to be doers of the word and not merely listeners.
And again, we would just like to thank you, the congregation, for your warm welcome to us moving here. I know I've said it before, but again, just thank you so much for your warm welcome and just making us feel right at home here. So thank you.
Thanks. Thanks for sharing. I know it's a little different than our usual service on Sunday, but it's always good to hear from brothers and sisters in Christ and to just hear encouragement of why they too want to become members at Creston Baptist. Before we do anything else, I just want to pray right now, and then I'm going to call the rest, Gary Easingwood and as well Marshall up, and then Charlie and Stan. We're all going to pile up here in the front somehow, I think. We got a lot going on here, but we'll squish up in the front here, and we're gonna pray together over the ones. Actually, you know what? We'll come up here. We'll come up here. Everyone come up here, and we'll pray over them. But I'm just going to pray right now, and then we'll call everybody up. Father, I just thank you for the words that we heard from the scriptures and from the mouths of your children. And I thank you that we have this opportunity now. And Father, I just ask for your blessing on the rest of this service as we go forward and for guidance in your spirit in all that we do here together as a body and then as well within our separate homes and in our jobs. And in wherever you have placed us as workforce out in the field, in the community, as mothers, as grandparents, as grandfathers, mothers, whatever you have placed us in life, it is your allotted will. When we are in you and when we are not, your will go forward. So I just thank you for salvation through Christ. I thank you that you would even love us. And I thank you for the reminders of the Gospel of John, how John was loved by you, but it's reminders of that John was saying, even I was loved. So, Father, help us to remember that as we welcome these others into full commitment here at Creston Baptist and as we move into communion as well. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, if I could get Stan and Charlie to come up first, wherever you are, I see you. If you wanted to first, yeah, you can, and then we'll call him up.
I just want to say it was a privilege to have these people come to us and give their testimonies and desire to be a part of our family. There's no doubt in my mind that they are truly Christians, that they desire to walk and fellowship and to build us as a congregation into a body that is fit together. And I just want to say thank you to them. Thank you.
Okay, good. All right, Sheldon and Kathy and Marshall and Gary and John and Jeannie. You would all come up. We'll pray. We're not going to make you say a whole bunch of stuff now. Maybe. We'll see. Just kidding. We just want to pray with you and for you.
Heavenly Father,
what a privilege it is to come into your presence and present these believers who desire to become part of our membership. We thank you that they are part of the family of God and that they love you and desire to please you and bring you honor and glory. We pray that as these people become members, that we as the congregation would put our arms of love around them, edify them, build them up, encourage them as they will to us. So we thank you in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, I also come before you to thank you for this group of people that want to become part of us here, Father. Lord, give them wisdom and knowledge that only comes from you, that we may guide them and they may guide us in a way that's true before you. And thank you for what you've done. Thank you for making their hearts willing to be instructed and guided in this way. In Jesus' name, amen.
As well, Father, I just thank you for each one of these ones standing here before the congregation today. I thank you that we can join together and that we can link arms together and that we can run this race together. And Father, I just ask that we would be an encouragement again. I know we need this reminder that we'd be an encouragement to one another and an uplifter to one another, and that we would bring each other, as John was reminding of us, of the need of the Word and the Spirit's work of comprehending the Word itself. And would we bring our brothers and sisters to that and not try to judge or to cut down, but to uplift and encourage and to remember that you are the one we are in need of. So thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks. There, we'll shake. Let's shake. Right, we're going to move right into communion. So Stan and Charlie, don't go back to your seats. And then as well, any other men who are involved with that, would you please come?